City of Palms podcast. Thank you for watching, viewing, and subscribing.
Episode 79.
Almost 80 episodes, and you still haven't subscribed yet? Come on now.
YouTube's the place to be, man.
I just want to say, dude, I'm going to try to bring a new energy to the podcast, man. I was really trying to record we try to come record this episode, and it's giving us hell, dude, and it put me out of the zone, because I was trying to get some food after this, some good grub. Now everything's going to be closed by the time I get out of here, but that ain't going to stop me. It ain't going to stop the energy that I'm bringing either. I got my One Way TB shirt on. Shout out One Way, man.
The only way.
Go stream. Go stream the boys' music.
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing great, man. I can't complain. I got a lot to talk about. I got some topics, but I got a lot to air out, man, because I don't know when the last time we touched base was, but first and foremost, shouts out to the listeners, man. We're 80 episodes in. We couldn't have done it without you guys, for real. I'm feeling hyped, dude. I'm glad we get to do this, regardless of how hard it is.
Yeah, me too. And we always figure it out.
Yeah, we do.
Eventually.
We do. We get it figured out. We're sounding good now, so shout out Cody Smith,
for real. He's the GOAT. Local hero, for sure.
All right, so let's get into it. My four-wheeler. So I think I've told you. I don't know if I told the listeners, but did I tell you it was running lean? You.
No, I don't know what running lean means.
Oh, my gosh. Basically, for anyone listening who is just getting caught up to date, I traded two dirt bikes for a four-wheeler. Nice four-wheeler, too. It's a Yamaha Blaster, so it's like a 200 two-stroke, which, if you know four-wheelers, is like... Like, they say a two-stroke is about, like, engine displacement would be about it double the speed of, like, or it would be just about the same speed of something doubled in engine displacement. That's a four-stroke. So, you know, if you have, like, a dirt bike that's a two-stroke and it's a 125, it's probably going to, in a race, it's probably going to catch up with, it's probably going to be right up there with, like, a 250 four-stroke. Make sense?
Yeah.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. 254 stroke would be just about as fast as like a 125 two stroke, because two strokes have more torque, power band, they have a power band, and they're just faster. Two strokes are just faster. So my four wheeler is two stroke. So mind you, get a four wheeler, it's great for like a week, and then I take it to the track and it's like bogging out on me, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm hitting the gas and it's just like shutting off, like it's starving for fuel. So I'm like, what's going on? Pull the carb. Dude's got a tiny jet in there. Dude had a tiny jet in there, a little Chinese crap tiny jet, so it's not jetted properly. So that was my issue at first. How long he had ran that for, I don't know. Because thing screamed when I test drove it. The thing rode like nobody's business. So I'm like, let's go. Took it to the track, didn't have that same luck. So pulled the carb off, had that issue. So as we're trying to re-jet it, the engine blew, dude. The engine just blew up, yeah. So top end of the engine just went, the piston went. So I took it to took the head to a machine shop. They reboarded out, boarded over 50 over, and I got a bigger piston. So now I just took my 200cc two-stroke and made it like a 220, because I bored the engine, made it bigger, and I got a fatter piston and fatter racing piston. Shout out Cypress Cycles. They're the machine shop that did it. But me and Dale just put the piston in. We've been doing all the work that we're doing all this Sunday, putting it back together. The top end of the engine, the shop never gave me back. So I'm like, no. So I had to call them Tuesday. They were closed Monday. And yeah, they're closed on Sunday. So I had to wait till Monday. Monday, they're closed. I had to wait till Tuesday. Called them, picked it up on Tuesday. Like, yeah, we got it ready. Picked it up. And I got my carb parts too, to hopefully get the carb squared away. Because I was still trying to figure out the carb issue, because this is going to sound boring for a lot of people who don't like know what it is. But the nozzle jet that holds the main jet, it was too small to hold the jet kit that I bought to replace his Chinese jets. So I bought a stock jet from Yamaha where I got the nozzle tube, the brand new one, fits right in. So I'm hoping that stock jet works, but it probably won't, because I got so many modifications. I probably need a bigger jet, but the bigger jets I bought, that the threading's too big, they don't fit. So I need to find something with same threading that I have with a bigger orifice hole in the jet. All this sounds confusing, but mind you, I was just as clueless too, getting into it. And then as you get into it, you just learn so much. Like, it's crazy as I've like came with dirt bikes and four wheelers, it's like you learn a little bit, and then it's like you think you know a lot, and then you learn more, and then you think you know a lot, and then so there's always something that like scares you. And I think I'm to the point now where I can comfortably like look at a dirt bike, look at a four wheeler, and know what everything is, what exactly everything is, what purpose it serves. But I'm saying that, but then there's going to be, I'm going to look at a newer one. It's going to be like, well, we have all this, because it just gets crazy. And not to say I'm comfortably working fully around like all the engines and stuff. Like, dude, if you look at a dirt bike clutch or an ATV clutch, like the clutch on my, the dude gave me an extra clutch with when I bought the four wheeler, bro, it is literally just a handful of gears and springs. And each one of those gears, you know, you're like first gear, you have to place it. And then like second gear, you have to like place it and the transmission and all that has to be tied into the clutch. Like all that confuses me still and scares me. But all the stuff I'm talking about now, like carb work and stuff, it was all very confusing. But if you can get into carbs, dude, if you can, it, like I learned this, someone told me this, and this is wise information. Like if you can know a carb inside and out and know how to take it apart, clean it, put it back together, you can save yourself so much money, dude, on everything with an engine, basically, because lawnmowers, weed whackers, you know, chainsaws, all this stuff, they sit in garages and people don't turn the fuel off. So the fuel leaks to the carburetor as it's supposed to, and then that gets corroded and flooded up. So then you go to start it and your carburetor's clogged. If you don't know how to take apart that carburetor and like clean out the jets and clean out everything, clean out all the gunk, it's not going to run ever. You won't get it to start. That four-wheeler that we had when we were kids, that's all that needed was a carb cleaning. I know that now, and I'm just, it kills me because I'm like,
how hard is it to learn, you think?
It's so easy. I've had dirt bikes. I've had like 5 or 6 dirt bikes, but not everyone's needed a carb clean. But like, I've probably cleaned carbs on like 3 or 4 of them. And then I clean the carb on the golf cart, clean the carb on the ATV. So these are all different things that I've cleaned the carb for, but a carburetor is a carb. It's same function, same thing, no matter the size. They could be bigger or whatever, depending on what you're working on. But it's easy, dude. It's just a simple thing. It's a simple, all it does is mixes the fuel and air from the engine. It's like sucked in on one side to your engine and then the exhaust on one side. And then so in it, all it does is it's mixing the fuel and air to, like for the output, input and output type thing. And so, yeah, it's really cool. It's been fun to learn because generators, dude, like all this, you can find people, you know, all my life I've been like on buying and selling stuff, you know, and I always see that even with dirt bikes, people be like, just don't know what's wrong with it. It's that, and now it's not running. And granted, you know, it could be more simple. It
but
could,
if you bought
could be more
that
complicated than a carb issue at that point. But yeah. A lot of the times, dude, I know somebody that went to a garage sale, and he's got mechanical skills for days. I don't know if I should say that. But he bought a dirt bike for $10, and then because it was just like not starting, you know, they had it in someone's garage. Yeah, just had it in a garage. This was a long time ago. Had it in a garage it wasn't, you know, it was sitting there not running. And it ended up needing what I just did to my four-wheeler, like a top-end rebuild, which on a two-stroke is not that big of a deal. On a four-stroke, it gets kind of complicated because on the top end of a engine, like on a two-stroke, you just take it off. It's literally the head and then your piston, and then that's like your cylinder right there. On a four-stroke, it gets more complicated because there's more involved in the top end on a four-stroke. But he just rebuilt the top end. It was a four-stroke, and thing ran good. Thing ran good. $10. I'm like, what?
For real?
So it pays really to learn to know the mechanical skill. And all my life, I've wanted to know, like, you know, I've wanted to be the mechanic, especially with like cars and stuff. But it all applies. I would say it's just too about not being scared. Because all my life, like when I would work on stuff, I would, and even now a little bit, I would just not want to break something, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just like even be scared to like take off a bolt because it's like, oh well, I don't want to try to take it off too hard and break something, or like break the bolt and not be able to get
it back
on. Or
sometimes in cars when you're trying to take off a bolt, you like have to reach in weird and like press wires like against
something.
Exactly.
I
always thought, what if I accidentally like rub a wire and disconnect,
I know.
Like, and then my car doesn't start.
Little things, yeah. And now that I know how like you get now, and once you see, like once you're working with someone who actually like knows what they're doing, and you're just like, oh,
you see how
you can be that rough. It's like, yeah, it's like, wow. And Yeah, it's really just, it's crazy. It's been crazy to learn everything, but it's gratifying too. I mean, the blaster's not running yet, but dude, when it's up and running, and it's gonna be soon too. We're hopefully gonna tie it up tomorrow. By the time this episode's up, hopefully it'll be running good. But like,
heck yeah,
if that stock carb works, because it'll probably run regardless with that stock carb. As a matter of how well it will run is up to question. But dude, if I can pull wheelies on it. Boy, I gotta break in the top end of the engine first too, because it'll be like a brand new engine, so you kind of gotta break it in. But yeah, dude, I'm ready to roll. I got a steal too. I don't know if I told you, but I found on a forum, like I'm on like a worldwide forum for blasters. That's the type of four wheeler I have. And people listening are like, dude, enough four wheeler talk. But people who know four wheelers and into this stuff, they're probably riled up. I'm riled up. I could talk about this stuff for days. But in the forum, I saw. You know, it's a worldwide forum. Most of the time when you see people selling something or something, it'll be out of state. You got to pay shipping and all that, so it's kind of just not worth it. I saw this guy, Fort Myers, Florida, selling a bunch of stuff for the blaster that I needed too. Like Nerf bars. He had two front spare tires, which mine are dry rotting, so they're always good to have. They were like brand new, so I'm like, yeah. I needed the Nerf bars. Those go around you, and they have like the netting on them, so you can like... And then he had Banshee suspension, which Banshee, Yamaha has Yamaha Blaster. That's what I have. They also have Yamaha Banshee, which that's a badass. That's a two-stroke 350, not a 200 like mine, but a 350 two-stroke. So like that's one of the fastest four-wheelers. Those are sought after for real.
Oh.
Banshees are nice.
So can you switch out the suspensions?
Yeah, the suspensions on the blasters and Banshees are interchangeable.
Oh.
The fronts are interchangeable. On the rear, you need a rear conversion kit, a bushing conversion kit. It's just like a thicker bushing, so it spaces it out more from when you bolt it. That's all you need. But the fronts go hand in hand. So yeah, I'm gonna clean them up. Once I get the engine all squared up, I'm gonna clean up the suspension and I'm gonna paint them blue because they're red right now. So yeah, I'm gonna plan to get like some real nice. I'm instead of spray painting them, I don't know. I was gonna maybe roll up brown paper or like get like a paper towel holder, because I don't want to get the, you know, it's a spring, it's like a suspension spring, and I want to paint the spring, but I don't want to paint the metal. So I was thinking about getting a paper towel holder and like an empty cardboard one and putting it over,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, to mask off, you know, you feel me, like slide it over the pole of the suspension.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah,
the,
yeah.
And I could still paint the spring on mm-hmm. the outside. If I could spray paint it that way and not like not do that, I will. But I was thinking about buying like some, if I have to brush it, because I don't want to paint like the stuff in the middle, you know, the metal and stuff. I don't want to paint that blue. I want to paint the spring. I said it like three times. So I was thinking about buying some real nice acrylic, like shiny paint, and getting like a small detail brush and just painting it with a brush. Cause I want it to look like car paint, almost like blue, like nice epoxy, shiny, pearlescent.
What do they call it? Candy coat,
something like that. Yeah, candy paint.
That reminds me. I was watching, cause it's so satisfying to like get a project like that done. Like imagine after you do that, if you're able to get the paint job done and everything, and it's ready to roll when you start it up. Then imagine what it'll feel like, you know? Especially when you're doing painting jobs, if you do any sort of like masking tape, whenever you're finally like taking off that that like peeled layer and it's just all crisp and clean and whatever. I was watching Cody Smith actually shared on Facebook a restoration. Not that he did, it was some company, but they did a restoration on a bread cutter.
I was just watching that.
No way. You saw me?
You shared it.
Yeah. Because I spent literally, it was like a 10-minute video and I watched the whole thing, because it starts out as this crusty ass, rusty thing that I'm like, oh, that's garbage, just throw that in the trash. But it's a cool like antique bread cutter or whatever. And see, did you watch the whole thing?
I didn't. No, I've seen those videos.
It's
though,
so satisfying, because you think, like, I always thought you see something rusty as hell like that and you're like, okay, that's, like I said, trash. But like the fact of seeing it after, once he goes through the whole process of like, you know, wire brushing it and putting that cleaner on
exactly.
it and what, just seeing it all come clean. It reminds me of like doing brakes, like how I was telling you with my brake calipers. They were like, had brake dust all over them and they looked like shit. And I was like, oh, like I got a nice car and the like brakes, you know, the wheels look like shit. But it's so easy to just like, you know, just brake parts cleaner and just wipe it real good.
Exactly.
And like that's something too, where like when I was first doing brakes, like bro, when I replaced drum brakes with Aaron Cornforth, that was so stressful. Like I could not have done that by myself, because the drum brakes, you know, are like complicated. They have all those springs that like attach in a certain way, and once you take off the drum brake, you have to detach all of that. And what he did was he set it all out on the ground exactly how it was, like in the brake, just so he knew, like, okay, that spring goes this side, that spring goes this side. And when I did it myself on the Cavalier, like months later, I had to buy that kit of all those gears, because all mine were, what did I even have to do? I don't remember, but I've replaced all the gears and stuff, so I put new ones in, and it was really complicated. But seeing that, like, once you, I would have been afraid to, like, spray everything with brake parts cleaner, because I'm thinking, like, oh, what if this, like, touches the brake line? Could that, like, do this or that? But then you see people do it, like, who are experienced, or you see videos, and they just, mm-hmm. just, like, spray it all over the brakes, because, like, you know, and then you just wipe it clean.
Yeah, 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 for real. It's, I know, it's crazy. Yeah, brake, yeah, drum brakes are no joke. They're definitely more tricky than disc brakes.
But brakes alone, like, get me so sketched out, because it's brakes, you know what I mean? If you have to do anything that involves the brake line, like, I always get so stressed.
Yeah, yeah, I know, no, same, and it has to do with luck, like, experiences in the past too, not luck, but I was gonna say I have bad luck with it in the past, because on my Mustang I changed the brakes and they were stuck, dude. Like, the caliper was, like, pressed, like, it was like
the piston was fully
the caliper, like, I changed them, all good, whatever, but then after I changed them, there was, like, the caliper, it was like my brake was always on the front left tire, my driver's side front tire.
You just did the pads,
or did you replace rotors and pads?
Yeah. What goes into replacing rotors? Because December might need new rotors.
Nothing. I mean, nowadays I recommend, if you're replacing pads, you should probably do rotors. Just because, like, back in the day, you were able to, you know, take them to a machine shop and have them resurface them, because they get so warped. You know, that's like when you hit the brakes and you're like, woof, 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 like, boom, 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 boom. That's like it's a warp in the rotor. You know, so it's like it's hitting. It's so, and they used to be able to sand them down and polish them. I mean, you still probably can, but they're so. They're not cheap, but I mean, you could probably get a set for, like,
they're not that expensive,
$60. Yeah. So if you're taking money to do brake pads and you're already taking the tire off and doing that, just get the rotors too. And
you don't have to disconnect the brake line or anything.
You just take the caliper off. You just take the tire off, take the caliper off, which, you know, you have to do that to change the brake pad anyway. So you just take
but
the caliper
off. But you
don't
have off. To disconnect it, right? You could, because I'll just, like, hook it.
Up. Yeah. Yeah. You just take it off and hook it. And then you just slide that rotor off.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm. I thought it was more, I'll do that ASAP. I thought
Easy.
It was more complicated.
Yeah, that's why when you were saying on yours, like, I don't think I need new rotors. I mean, you probably might have some nice rotors. I don't know, because you have the R-spec.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have, I don't know. I'd look at them.
Because I always heard.
If they're basic rotors, because you could also get some still some nice ones. If you're needing new brakes, if you're like, hey, man, I need new brakes. Like, if you're feeling it in your car, I would just get, like, you know, some nice rotors. Because you could get nice ones for, like, $60 or $80 probably. Or like maybe 100. No, I'm saying a set. Probably.
Really?
Set of two. I think a set of two. Oh, you have disc brakes all four, right?
Yeah, I do. So does she, actually, on the van.
It was funny too. While I was at I went to Sun Sports today, because, like I said, I'm putting the put my ATV back together tomorrow. So I went and got 2-stroke oil to put in the piston, help it burn and stuff whenever I crank it up. And the guy was talking to me. Shout out Kevin. He's a sales associate there. He was talking to me, and he was, like, talking about blasters, talking about 2-strokes and stuff. And then I was checking out, because if you've never been to Sun Sports, but, like, you buy your thing, and then you go up to, like, a desk, and you fill out, he fills out an invoice, and he basically, like, sends it over to the front desk, and then you walk up to the front desk with whatever you're buying, and you pay. So he's, like, getting my last name and stuff. He's like, Lombardo. He's like, your brother drives a G8, right? I was like, no, my brother, no. And then he's like, no, he does. I know this guy. And I'm just thinking, you know, whoever it is, it's not my brother. Whoever you know with the G8, it's not my brother. Because I know what, like, my brother drives. And I was like, no, my brother drives a Genesis. And he's like, oh, what? And then he's saying, you know, he's trying to find his Instagram. Couldn't find his Instagram. He's like, I don't even know. And I'm like, yeah, well, whatever. And that was basically that. But it was cool to, like, because the G8, a Pontiac G8, that's, like, a nice-ass car. So he's saying, oh, you know, your brother, and I'm like, nah, my brother drives a Jenny. It's cool. I'm glad I could say that rather than, like, now he drives a.
He doesn't have a car.
He doesn't, you know, no, like, no, nah, like, yeah, if you had your Cavalier, just be like, nah, he doesn't.
Or the Saturn.
Nah, you wouldn't know him from his car.
You definitely, no, the Saturn, they'd probably know me from my car. People would literally take pictures of that shit.
Really?
After the crash. Yeah, because I drove it for, like, 3 months after the crash.
Yeah, that was gnarly, though. driving after the crash. It was all dented up.
For real, both doors are just like boom.
I know. I remember my friends too in high school would come over and be like, oh my gosh, whose car is that? Like, yeah, that's my brother's. Like, yeah. Damn, what happened? He's still
driving it? They deemed it totaled. Like, the frame was bent. So, like, it was totaled.
If it runs, it runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if it'll get me to work, dude, that's it.
Yeah, and I did those brakes. I'm glad I got those brakes of hers done the other day because I was going to put it off, but then our camping trip came around. And then, like, the night prior, she was like, you know, it wasn't a super far drive to Okaloochee Slough, but it was, like, an hour, you know. And the brakes had been screeching a bunch, and we'd been putting it off and whatnot. And she needed an oil change, and she needed the brake pads. And I kept saying, like, yeah, whenever I get time, like, I'll do it. I just need to get time. I never had time. And then the night before, she was like, you know, we really should get that done. And we were going to leave. Not early in the morning, but like before noon, we were gonna like get everything packed, have everything packed up to head to La Belle for that campsite, and I was just like, fuck it, I'll just do it before we leave. Like, I'll just wake up super early, and I woke up at like 7 or 8 or something, and went right to AutoZone and got the went to an auto part store, and I got it done. And but nice. the camping trip was sick. Honestly, it was like the smoothest camping trip that I've like ever had as far as like planning and execution and stuff. It was like the chillest camping trip ever, which like I wish I had stories, because every other camping trip, like, some shit has happened where like we meet some crazy dude out there, or like my car got stuck the first time we went to Okaloochee Slough in high school, right. But this time, really nothing other than like Gohan going with us, and Gohan was just like all about it. He was really, really well behaved the whole time.
Yeah,
I had him on the tether the whole time, or on the leash, like if I was walking around with him or like walking a hike or whatever, I had him on the leash. But the whole time he was on the tether, biggest complication was just that he kept hitting the canopy. We had my 10x10 canopy out there too, with like all the food under it. And he kept like, he doesn't understand that he's connected to something. So he'll just like walk laps and just tangle himself up, and he'll like get all tied up, and we had to keep getting him out. But
how is, where is that place that
you went camping? It's like, it's near La Belle, if not in La Belle. I'm not really sure exactly, like, geographically. That's
what Dad was saying. I was saying Immokalee.
That's what I thought. And I don't know. I just know you go to Corkscrew, and you drive all the way down Corkscrew. You just, like, keep going until you get to State Road 82. And then you turn on State Road 82 until you get to, like, Field Road or some
So you go past Veterans, or you take a right down 82?
You take a right down 82. And I'm pretty sure La Belle is what, like, I was seeing signs saying. I wasn't the one driving. I've never driven there myself. I've always been the passenger. But it's, like, only a 30-minute drive that way. And then once you get to the – maybe a little longer. But then once you get to the ranger station, the campsite is still quite a ways from that. So the ranger station, there's, like, several, roads, like, dirt roads to get into the actual preserve or whatever. And – there's one that you have to take that gets you way back to the primitive campsites, which is called Panther Pond. And, yeah, it's dope, dude. Like, cause there's a big lake, and honestly, it'd be fun to go with like you and Bree and like maybe a couple people or something, just like a chill campsite or camp trip. Cause there's a pond, and then there's a big loop around, like, from any campsite, you just walk down the dirt road, and it's just like a 5-minute walk. And then there's the pond, and there's hella alligators in the pond though. There's like a family alligators. It's cool to watch them though. And at night, if you like shine a flashlight out, you can see like all their eyes and stuff sometimes.
That's us. Do they come up out of water?
When I used to go there in high school, I didn't see any of this trip. I wanted to, but like I only got to the lake a couple times. I only left the campsite a few times with Gohan because I was the one cooking. So I was mainly like around the fire. But they used to get up when I was in high school. They would be in the back though, like the place that you couldn't really walk because the brush was so high. Could like, they'd be way out there, and if you looked with like binoculars or whatever, you could like see them sometimes perched up in like their little sitting spots. But someone this camp trip did, a different camper from another site, like they said they saw the previous morning, they saw one up on the bank, on the close bank, like the one you walk next to, and they would swim up there too. I remember they got a picture of me in high school. I was like squatted down at the bank, like reaching out or something, like throwing something in the water or something, and the alligator is like really close to me, like coming up.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like I underestimate alligators, you know, because I don't know if it's true, but they say they can run like hella fast. I've never seen an alligator run, but
and they say to run in zigzags. That shit don't work.
I heard that was a myth. I heard
that shit don't work. How would you think? And I remember as a kid, dude, even my young self, I remember hearing that and thinking, how would it work? No, I would think
I'm good.
How would it work? Because logistically, if it can run, they would say they can run 30 miles an hour straight, but they'd say to run in zigzags, then you're okay because it confuses them. But if you are running zigzags and it's running straight 30 miles an hour, it's going to get you either way.
Because you can't run 30 miles.
You have to cross the straight path and you can't go as fast as it can.
And I can testify, I've never been chased by an alligator, but when Gohan is chasing me and I try to like juke him out by like going zigzags, he bites my arm.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with a crocodile can't go zigzags. So if you go zigzags, it's trying to chase you and it can't, you know, because of how long its body is.
It'll get confused or something like that.
But I mean, yeah, I would fight an alligator if I had to. I'd gadget tied out. It's the only way.
And I was thinking, because there's a big sign. I think that too, just thumb right in their eye.
That's how a guy got out of a shark.
Yeah, or like punching him in the nose too.
No, dude, that does not work. Have you ever seen the show I Was Prey? Yeah, it was a show I was watching.
Oh. I mean, how hard could you punch underwater?
That's what I'm saying. It's like punching in a dream. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, this guy was surfing, dude, and he dude, this guy literally, I forget what he do. He was an eye specialist. Yeah, he was an eye doctor.
He took that bitch's eye out.
Dude, he knew exactly how. And he literally like pried. He was like,
he was a shark eye specialist?
No. He
just knew how eyeballs work.
Yeah, he knew how eyeballs work. And it applies the same. Like if you get your two fingers under their eyelids and like
get a hold of the corneatic nerve.
Up and over, dude. Just like you would think it would. He literally just literally do it.
Pop it
and
out.
The shark was coming at him. He punched it and that shit didn't do anything. So he's like, fuck it. And it bit him. It bit him. And it bit him. And he's like, and it was drowning him. And he's like, this is all I can do. Gouged his eye out and the thing left.
One eye now.
One eye. He should have kept that eye. If he didn't kept that eye and marbleize it.
For real, dude. Imagine like, just how big you think a shark eye is. Great white shark. Like a full grown
depends
great
how big
white
the shark is.
Think about like
8 foot shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably like
golf ball?
Size of a little smaller than a golf ball.
They got little ass eyes too. I feel like that's something that's not intimidating about sharks. Kind of creepy how little their eyes are, but like
I would
little
I would
black eyes.
I dude being that's sharks are underestimated. Like being in the presence of a shark is I've oftentimes compared like being on the road and a cop gets behind you when you're driving to how I would feel when I'm in the water and seeing a shark. And now that is underestimated, though, because we don't experience it often. Think about it. Like, you don't see, you know, you're not in the water and you don't see a shark. It's not, like, on your ass. If you were legit, you know, the fear we have of when we're kids, when we're, like, in a pool with goggles on and we're, like, you know, diving or with no goggles on and we're, like, diving, we feel like we're going to open our eyes, like, see a shark and shit. Imagine, though, if you are in the ocean and you're, like, you know, like these divers are and then you just,
and
like,
you
open your
shark.
Eyes and you just see a fat shark, like, just... Dude, like Bruce from Nemo. Be so scary.
I've swam with barracudas when I was scuba diving. But yeah, shark.
It's a bitch, dude. I swam with cudas, dude.
Hey, they're dangerous, too.
Nah, they are. They'll mess you up, too. Didn't you swim with sharks, though? Swim with nurse sharks?
No, I was a little bitch when I was in fifth grade. I did. Like,
shark?
I got... Well, because the thing
such
was...
Such a bitch,
the thing
dog.
Was, I didn't have, like... a squad of friends I was going with. A lot of those people had like the group of friends and like they would all do shit and like
I
with the friends
with
and like the whole group would be like hyping each other up like let's go
right.
But I didn't have a group, so I was just like me just like chilling exploring the
like, I guess I'll
Key
die.
West
I
and
guess I'll die with
yeah I no yeah I'm good on dying, so I'll go check out the craft store.
Yeah, right.
I did go in. They gave you these little boogie boards, and like I did go in for a little bit, but you were supposed to go like out to like the rock reef thing, and you could go down and like see the nurse sharks and stuff.
Oh,
but I was just like chilling at the shore.
You,
well,
you
no,
got
the,
in there.
The
like,
reason
you're like, hey, this ain't bad. They're like, no, we have to go out there. Nah, I had
this is cause I see them. Whoa, that's crazy.
No, we're gonna like go ride them. You grab their fin. Like,
I wasn't even afraid of the sharks. I just remember in SeaWorld, I was. Terrified because I couldn't swim good. I wasn't a strong swimmer. So like I remember there was a swim test and I was so sketched, dude. And I may just be making this up, but I swear to God there were barracudas in that water. I was talking about when I was scuba diving, I saw barracudas. That's a fact. But there was a
Why test you when you get to the place?
Yeah, like you pay all that money like, and get to Key West and gonna do all these things underwater.
My parents just dropped like $600, dude.
Yeah, but no, before we went out snorkeling, because there was a whole like snorkel trip where you go out on the flat top boats, and before that, every kid had to like prove that they know how to swim or whatever. And I just knew how to like doggy paddle, but like not well. So I could like get across the water like a little dog. I can swim,
grab my floaties.
grab my, what are they called?
Weight Watchers.
Water wings.
What are they? Water.
Grab my water wings.
Water wings.
Floaties.
Water weights.
But no, I guess I passed because I was able to go on the flat top boats. But I was so stressed. The whole line going up to it, seeing all my like fellow classmates like freaking backstroking. And I'm just like thinking, sitting there. And then flexing. I swear I saw.
What fifth grader could backstroke? Like, damn, is that Michael Phelps?
Tyler dude? Four. You remember him?
Yeah.
You remember the Four Brothers?
Yeah.
They could definitely backstroke.
Maybe.
But I thought I saw a barracuda while I was in line.
I feel like every fifth grader is a shit swimmer.
Yeah, that's what I should have thought about. Like, I should have thought, like, yeah, we're but you all don't
think
12.
About that as fifth. Yeah, exactly.
You're just thinking, like, everyone's going to see. I'm going to drown. Everyone's going to see.
And we couldn't
me.
Swim that well. We weren't really adapted with water. Like, we didn't grow up that. We didn't go to the beach that
No,
often,
we didn't have a pool. Know? We didn't, go to the beach that often.
So I mean, we could swim, but yeah, we didn't have practice and shit. These kids with pools, yeah, they're doing laps. You're like, what the?
Yeah, I'm a swim team.
I'm warming up, dude.
But what the hell was that?
A light.
I hope that didn't break.
The cats, dude.
All right. What was I even saying, dude? Now I got distracted. So yeah, I was stressed about the swim exam. I didn't swim with sharks for that long of time, and then I saw barracuda scuba diving. That's about it. It'd be sketchy as fuck to see a shark, though.
It would, dude. That imagine we talked about camping. We talked about sea camp. Imagine camping sea camp. No school. Like, imagine you just do that.
They did, I guess. Like, her group of friends did, like, camp in the Keys. And I don't know what it's like. I camped Cayo Costa.
Oh, you could go camp the Keys. Yeah, Cayo Costa's lit.
Because that was, like...
But you got to bring scuba gear and shit. Like, you're a scuba certified scuba diver. But if you had your own scuba gear,
I've always wanted to. But do you realize how expensive that is? Because, dude,
oh, I know, dog.
Like, you need to get to like
the
just
tank,
to,
the
yeah, yeah, just
flippers,
well,
the,
usually you can rent tanks. Like, if there's somewhere you can scuba dive, because you can't just like, you usually can't just like go scuba dive, like dive somewhere, and like you have to. It has to be like a scuba location,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But no, even without the tank, because tanks are hella expensive. Even just to get the BCD. And just to get your respirator, and yeah, you need fins, you'd need the BCD, the respirator, and a mask, and all of that, dude, would I don't even want to like estimate, it'd be over $1,000, probably like $2,000.
Yeah, it's insane how much shit is, dude. Like, have you ever seen what a dirt biker wears, or like a, you know, MX,
oh, I bet, yeah.
MX gear, uh-huh. You know, the boots, the pants, and like
the
shirt,
helmet alone,
the mask, the helmet. How much do you think that is, that kit?
I'm gonna guess the kit.
Or whatever, whatever. Guess.
I'm gonna guess the helmet. I would say a solid $300 to $500. Not that much.
I mean, it could be, but that's probably a little high. I guess it, like I said, anything.
200.
Yeah, helmet's probably like 150.
That's still a lot for a helmet.
Yeah, yeah, but the goggles too. If you want goggles too, like helmet and goggles combination. Yeah, then you're looking at like $200-$300. So that for the head.
How much are the gloves?
The gloves, that's like $15-$20. But then, you know, that the because the shirt matches the pants, so that's usually a fit. Like, I have one. I got a great deal on mine. Mine was like only a little over $100, but
they probably get expensive,
dude. Usually they're like $3 to $5. And I saw one, like, a lot of people like to wear like Supreme, like they have like Honda Supreme type shit, dude. Bruh, like $500.
What about the boots?
The boots, dude. I have boots in my car right now. $500.
What?
MX boots. Garen MX boots. And they were given to me when I got those Hondas, when I traded the golf cart for the Honda. The guy's like, try these on. Do they fit you? I tried them on. I'm like, yeah. And I knew they were getting at SA12s. I'm like, dude, yeah, they fit. Yeah, and they fit great. I was like, they do. And yeah, he gave them to me. I'm like, that's insane.
I remember you telling me that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So would riders have like multiple fits, or would it mainly be like that's your, like if you're a diver, you have your BCD.
You I guess it depends how much you ride. Like if you ride, you probably got a couple fits, but.
And obviously if you're sponsored, they.
Yeah, for sure. But like me, I just got one thing. Cause most of the time, like if I ride with my boys, I'll have my, my pants on. I guess it depends where I'm riding at. Like, if I'm riding in trails or woods or whatever, I'll definitely have my full kit. But if I'm just riding, like, with my boys and we're, like, you know, go out to, like, Nathan's property or something. We've done that once. I'll ride with,
like, I think I delivered at his property the other
Really?
Yeah. We were Instacarting, and I'm pretty sure.
Off Corkscrew?
Yeah. And I thought I remembered it because they have, like, UTI? Jet skiing or, yeah. or some, yeah, some
the
sort
lake,
of, like.
The lake. The ski lake.
In yeah.
The yeah.
That's what made me think of it because I remembered you saying Nathan.
Then you did then, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Nathan or was it
No. I wasn't Instacarting. I was buying that bookshelf. I think that bookshelf right there. I was buying it on Facebook Marketplace for a great deal. But, dude, that dude's house was awesome. He had me, like, come in and help him, like, lift it and stuff.
Oh,
and I was
nice.
Like,
dude, did he have a – did he, in the back, did he have a pool? Was it, like, a big – did he have a big rock wall?
I didn't get a good look at it. But, yeah, I don't really remember. I don't even really remember what he looked like. But, no, it was one of those places where I knew, like, if you live in here, you're, like, you're pretty set. Like, you're well off. You're doctors.
Bruh. There's literally capped off at, like, 13 people that can live in there.
Yeah, I remember you saying
there's
that, too, because
there's a gun
only
range
a
in there. Yeah, there's a gun range in that community. Dude, you can literally, like, that's the community where you can literally get on your shit and go. Like, get on your side-by-side, get on your dirt bike. Like, there's literally, dude,
yeah.
Great. I would love it. Love it. But yeah, I guess it just depends. Me personally, though, what I was going to say, I don't like riding in those boots. I've tried all different boots, even those $500 boots. Like, I thought that would change it because I used to have a pair of Fox boots. I ended up selling them. Hated them. Tried to ride in them. They're so stiff, dude. They're so stiff. You put it on. It's like you know, the boot you wear when you, like, break your foot or whatever, break your ankle, the big ass boot. It's like that. Dead ass. You can't move your ankle at all.
Do you think that might be better for, like the big at like motocross type?
No, because, dude, the way you shift on a dirt bike is on that foot thing. So you the way they think you should they do it is, like, you know, step on it each time. But, like, I you know, put my foot on the foot peg and, like, shift up and down with my foot. And I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, because if I downshift, I come out and, you know, downshift and then do it. But if I have a big ass foot on, you know, that
you don't have the, like, dexterity.
Yeah. I mean, you can adjust that thing too, but maybe it would just need some adjusting if I'm riding with the boots on. Just adjust it good. But it's just hard too. It's just really hard because you can't move your foot like this at all. So if you're gonna move your leg to, like, shift each time, you have to come out with your whole leg. And
have you tried different boots or just the ones you have?
I've tried different, because, like I said, I had Fox ones at first. Fox ones when I had, like, my first dirt bike. And I didn't like them, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna wear, like, boots. Like, I got, like, you know, actual boots, and that was fine. That's what I used to ride in. And then with the Honda dirt bikes that I got, the guy gave me this, but they were just pit bikes, so I just rode around in Nikes and doing wheelies on the pit bikes. But then when I took it to the trails, I brought the boots, and I strapped them up and stuff. And then, yeah, I was like, hell no, I'm not riding these.
Because I wonder if that'd be
something. It sucks to walk into.
I wonder if it'd be something like with skate shoes. How, like, some people like bulky skate shoes with not a lot of board feel. Some people like really thin-ass shoes where you can feel every inch of the board. I wonder if it might be the same with riding boots.
Yeah, I wonder. But, dude, the tracks and trails is literally the place to be. Like, if you have a dirt bike or a toy, going to Sandlot, the tracks and trails, that's what's called Sandlot. It's amazing because literally, you have to pay for so much shit. It's annoying how much everything is. But once you pay and once you're in, dude, you literally come park your truck. No one bothers you. Like, and you literally have, like, all this off-road space. They have a tiki. Like, they have bathrooms. They have a tiki place. They have a shop where you can, you know, buy, like, little parts and stuff. And then they have, like, another shop. It's called, like, a general store. And it has, like ice creams and drinks and, you know, little stuff like that.
Kind of like Lakes Park. How Lakes Park has, like, that little area where you can buy, like, concession shit.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's a store, AC store. You can actually walk in. And it actually has, like, general store on it. It's like your own, like, little town once you're in this, like, place. And it's all, but it's all dirt roads. And you only ride your four-wheeler or dirt bike or side by side and shit. And the tiki bars over here, they have a huge lake right here where they have and they have a big trampoline, you know, a big trampoline in the middle of the lake. Like a big, you know, one of those big floaty trampolines in the middle of a man-made lake.
That'd be so sick, dude.
It's dope.
How much is it?
So
you, to, like, hang out for a day.
So you pull up, you know, you pull up with your dirt bike and you gives the guy $15 at the door. He gives you a wristband. Then you go in and you pay for parking, which is, like, another, It's like another 10 if you pay, if you park right there and you could just unload your bike and ride out, or you could pay 15 for parking and get beach access, which is what I always do, because then you just ride past everything and park like by the lake, like lakeside. And so I just park back there. So that's 15, 15, 30. And then it's another, I think it's 30 for an admission rider. So you're like 60 in just to get in the door. And then, you know, food is hella expensive. It's like food truck, but it's really good. It's like barbecue. They have like burgers, hot dogs, like all the good stuff, pulled pork sandwiches and stuff like that, fries, like all that stuff's so good when you're riding, because riding kills you. Like, it's like, you know how skating, like when you skate for a while, like destroys you. Mm-hmm. You ride for like 2-3 hours and you don't think nothing of it, because you're not like exalting a lot of injury because energy, because you're just, you know, throttling and riding. But when you come take a break, you're like, oh my gosh. But it's so cool because I'm so kitted out. Like, when I ride, dude, I got my gear, I got my everything on, I got my Camelback on with like,
yeah,
loaded with water. So I'm just sipping water like this. I bring a lunchbox with all like all the other, you know, I bring drinks and all that stuff in it too. But I got my Camelback for like water constantly when I'm riding. It's just so sick, dude. Honestly, that's like one of my favorite places to be, Florida Tracks and Trails. That's why I want like, oh, it's called Sandlot now. My bad. But yeah, that's why I want like lots of toys, dude. I want like, I'm loving my four wheeler, but I also want like lots of other stuff. I want more people to experience it.
Yeah.
Like, my boy came with me and he rented something though. And I mean, he had the time of his life.
Oh, that's where y'all were.
Yeah. But it's just not worth it to rent something, because they require like a high deposit. So yeah. I mean,
plus the risk, like you'd be sketched. Yeah, obviously you'd be sketched to damage your bike, but like if you're borrowing something and something happens, that's like a whole new level of stress.
Yeah, it's funny. My friend crashed the shit out of his bike too. He got his deposit back, but dude, he crashed it so many times. So many times. I'm like, wow.
And wasn't there one time where y'all thought it wasn't rideable, but then you were able to,
every
like...
time he thought it wasn't rideable, he was so scared. And I kept fixing it. But yeah, one time, no, literally he pulled it out the ditch and the back bumper, the rear bumper, like behind the seat, was, it's usually flat. Like the seat's like this and it's usually flat. It was literally like, vroom, turned all the way up. And he was so sketched because he thought he broke it. And I literally just like pulled it back down into place. And then I was like, literally told him, don't crash it. This was right after all that. I fixed it, got his bike, got pulled the weeds all off it. And got, I was like, all right, bro, don't crash it. I pulled off. I looked back. And he whiskey throttles it again, dude. I'm like, no. Like,
I can just imagine his face be like, oh, no, yeah. I'm not going to crash it.
They, dude, because he fronted though, because he was like, the guy was like, you know, hey, we don't really have anything for beginners, because he was telling him he was a beginner. He's like, we don't really have anything for beginners. Like, I'm all booked out right now. And he's like, well, I just got this one open up that someone canceled. He already put the deposit down. He canceled, or he didn't already put the deposit down. You know, he booked the thing out online. He canceled. So this bike's available, but it's a YZ125. The guy's like, can you ride? Because it's like a serious bike. I have my KX100. So it's like right up there with my bike. And all my friend's like, yeah, I can ride. And
I got it.
Yeah, dude, and he crashed it so many times. And it was funny too, because he's like, the guy like wants to see that you can ride, you know, before he rents you, because it's one guy comes with like all his bikes. He was like sponsored by the Florida Tracks and Trails. I don't think he goes to the place that is now, but when it was Florida Tracks and Trails, he would just go there. And he has like, it's one guy that owns like 30 dirt bikes, and he rents them out all out to like people. Yeah, he was also a dirt bike mechanic. He was the mechanic on spot. So if your bike, like, that's what I missed too. They don't have that now, but they had, this guy had like flat rate charges. Like, oh, you need a tire change? Well, he had everything to do it, the inner tubes and everything you'd need if you had a flat out there, $25. Oh, you need carb clean, like I was saying, $35. He would do all this like real quick too while you're out there if you're having trouble. Yeah, that's why I was pissed when I was out there with my four wheeler having trouble. He wasn't out there. I'm like, damn. Yeah, but so yeah, my friend, he was like, yeah, I know how to ride, and he just, I don't know what he did in front of the guy, but somehow managed. He was like sketch riding too, like, oh yeah, it's been a minute. And then like when we got out on the trails, dude, yeah, he couldn't ride the trails. That was the thing. That's the thing that sucked too, is because I like love riding, dude. Like, I can ride, bro. Like, I get on and go. Like, I'll hit jumps, like hit fat jumps. And if we're on trails, like I will not stop, you know. That's because it's hard. You can't like rip it too fast because there's corners, but you can't go too slow because it's sugar sand and you'll get stuck. Your body, like, you'll start.
Yeah, boom. Yeah, you got
to
keep.
So you got to maintain like a nice 20, 25 miles an hour, second to third gear, just going in and out, clutching in and out on corners. every time I turned around on a corner, this man was nowhere to be found. And I saw, I would just get to a straightaway. I'd be waiting. And then he comes around walking it. Exactly. He comes around walking it. And he's just like, it's too hard. So, but the thing is, like, too, once you're out there, you can't turn around because it's like, it's a one-way thing. And they're mile-long trails, but you can't turn around because people are ripping through, yeah, you know? Yeah, so yeah. They're like little skinny trails. And yeah, I just remember telling, and he, oh, please, let's turn around. Too funny, dude. Too funny. You would love it, though. I want you to go out. Like, I want you to experience this because you're like, like adventure-esque and shit. And like, you can like drive stick shift. So I know you could drive like a, you know, you can drive a dirt bike and it's so fucking cool. And even if you don't like a dirt bike, because if you're like, you know, I don't fuck with like the motorcycle-esque of like balancing, four-wheeler. You don't have to like balance and it's just so sick. Dude, it's so fucking fun. It's so, it's like life-changing. Like same thing when we roll away on a skate trick. It's like when you're out there riding on trails and you're just bah, bah, and trees are bah, hitting you and you're
bah, yeah, bah, bah. I would love it,
it's,
I'm sure.
It's insane and you have full control. You're like, I want a wheelie right now. I want to try. Bah. I want to go up that hill. That looks cool. Here I go. It's fuck, dude.
And see,
I love it.
I've always been like, just like we were just talking about with the gear and scuba diving and stuff. Like, I've always been someone who loves having everything you need to like go on an adventure yourself. You know what I mean? And so like me with my camping backpack, like just the shit I have in that backpack is perfect to where if like I'm out camping and like I need to do this thing or like little thing, little tools to like make it a little more fun. And transportation is the same way to where like a kayaking camping trip would be like the sickest thing. Cause like you go on an adventure in the water cause you're on a kayak just doing with all your gear and just going. And then you camp and then, you know, do your thing, get back out on the water. And I bet it'd be the same like with that. If you, is that a thing? Like if you, cause I know.
Oh yeah, dude, Peace River. That's what the people you do at Peace River. They don't, I don't think they allow it anymore.
Bro, maybe, a four wheeler with like my backpack on it. I know. Like, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they do allow it at Peace River, but I think they put a speed limit up there. But yeah, I sold one of my dirt bikes, my KX100. I sold it at Peace River to a guy. But yeah, that's what it is. It's a campground, kind of like Caritian, but there's like a, there's obviously a river there. There's like,
but pool, isn't,
but there's a bunch of trails.
I thought I remember here in Peace River was one of those places where it's not like Caritian in the aspect of like reserving a campsite, like paying ahead and reserving a campsite. You probably can do that, but I thought also you could like camp wherever. Like if you were like kayaking down the Peace River, you could like dock up one time and just like find a clearing.
Probably, yeah. You're probably just paying for admission. I know you,
because they'll probably have like fire pits all around the,
yeah, I don't know,
the land. And like if you, that'd find be cool, a fire pit,
we should go there. We should camp, no, there, because there I know I can bring my shit and I'd be
that
so down
be,
to like
actually
bring,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be so sick, especially if I was able to like get my hands on. No, yeah, that'd be cool. We should definitely do that. That'd
it's
be an
not
adventure.
That far either, because like I said, I sold a dirt bike there, and it wasn't. It took me like 30-40 minutes on the highway. We can wrap it up.
Yeah, we've been.
But
going
I do
want to
touch real quick, because we touched a lot on dirt bikes, four wheelers, whatever. And I don't know if like I sparked anybody or anybody's thinking about anything like getting one or whatever. I would highly recommend, dude. If you're like over 16 and you've never stepped on a dirt bike. I don't know. Do it, because like, especially if you're like me, dude, like adrenaline, like I love like action sports, dude. Like I love skateboarding and like dirt biking, you know, it's insane. And it's a whole nother world to get involved into. And, but like, don't get discouraged either, dude. Like if you get one and you think it's like a top, like, or you think it's like a piece, like, of crap, if you didn't get that. It's, you know, like, it's always something, dude. That's what I realized. Like, I've had, like, 5 dirt bikes and, like, golf carts and all that. It's always something little. Like, I don't know. A lot of times, you know, a lot of people tend to think, like, if you buy something, like, a lot of people, like, hate on what I do. Because, like, oh, you know, your thing's not working because you didn't buy it new. And it's like, no, you don't understand how this works, because like even if you bought a new four-wheeler, you could ride it, you could put 30 hours on it, and you know, if the carb needs clean, the carb needs clean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
if something goes wrong, you know. So knowing how to do it and just understanding that, like, you know, it, everything can be done, even if you were to like take the whole motor that's in it and put a whole new motor in, would fix every issue that could ever be a potential thing. That's only, you know, that could even be done. I just, a lot of the times, me, like, thinking when I was younger, not having the mechanical skill I have now, not having the resources I have now, it would be, bro, I cannot explain to you how sad I would get. Like, if you know, like, when I bought my Chinese dirt bike, brand new, bought it Chinese, never buy a Chinese dirt bike. They're crap. I bought it brand new, $900. It was so crap. Like, the first, like, you know, week or two I had it, everything's going bad. And it's like, oh, I had to do all this stuff to keep it running. And then I got my first, and then I was like, oh, people say, oh, don't buy a Chinese one, get a Japanese one. That won't happen. So I did. I got nice ones, Honda, Kawasaki, all that. And it's still like little things. Like, it's not like as major as the Chinese one, but it's always going to be something little that you have to do. But if you learn how to take care of it, it's not that big of a deal. Like I was touched on earlier with like the carb cleaning and stuff. And I have YouTube videos on like clutches. Like, that was right when I got those Honda dirt bikes. You know, those were two great Honda dirt bikes, started nice and everything. The day I got it though, the day I got home, I went to ride it, clutch snapped. And I'm like, no, clutch cable snapped. And I didn't know, like, if you watch a YouTube video I have, I didn't know how to fix that, but I did it. And I mean, that's just stuff that happens, you know? It's yeah. Like, if you didn't know how to do that or had no mechanical skill, you'd be like, I just got this bike and the clutch cable snap, really? Now it's going to sit here, you know? It's like, but it can always be something, dude.
And that's kind of the fun part of the fun of it, too.
It's for sure part of the fun. Like, they say built not bought on a lot of things, and yeah. it's true too. Like, I bought the Blaster and I didn't know anything about four-wheelers, and now I feel like I can, if you point to anything on a four-wheeler, I tell you, especially on my bike, I'll tell you exactly what it is and what purpose it's serving, you know, just knowing yeah. the ins and out of working on it and stuff. It's been crazy, dude. It's been awesome. But my goal, dude, my goal in life, like, one of my goals is to have a big shop, like have my house and have like a big garage, and then have like trails, like, cause I want to be in like North Carolina, have trails. But I want to like have my YouTube flourishing and be able to have like a customization shop on like these kinds of toys and stuff. Yeah. Cause yeah, it gets me going, and I'll work on them forever. Like, if I could work on stuff like this, like dirt bikes and four wheelers for a day job, dude, I would love to, like, for my own business, like mm-hmm. run that stuff, but more than just work on them, like get them running, but like customize them how I want, you know, like
yeah.
even the little things I'm doing now, like taking the Banshee suspension, putting it on the Blaster, I board the engine 50 over, like these little things are going to make my Blaster way different, to where if I see someone at the track and they have a Blaster, they're going to be like, well, why is yours so much better than mine? And it's like, well, here's what I've done, you know? Yeah. And then on YouTube, you know, if I get my YouTube channel going, follow me, Danny Lombardo on YouTube. If I get that going, you know, people can see in the videos I make, oh, he's got it, you know, or, oh, I want my Blaster to look and run just like his. So I'm going to hit him up, see if he can do this. I would love to do that.
Yeah,
I can't wait till like the days where. So if you got a four wheeler dirt bike, if it's not running, hit me up. We'll get it running. Let's start there. Let's start there and see what happens. Cause I can do that, and I'm confident, and I want to. Like, I want to help people, dude. Because
yeah,
I've been blessed. Like, with Dale, shout out Dale. I don't know what I would do if he wasn't, like, cause he's been helping me with this Blaster like crazy, and it's like he's been the one telling me like, yo, no matter what, we're going to get it done, and like, it's going to be good. And I have faith in what he says because of what he's done. And
yeah,
so I want that to carry over too, like with me to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks y'all for listening. We're going to wrap it up. It's been actually a long one.
Where can they find us at, bro?
Oh yeah. You can find us at City of Palms Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel, for real.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I want to hint, we're planning a giveaway soon, and it's going to be a gnarly one. So follow us on Instagram for updates on that. That's going to be really YouTube heavy involved, I will just say right now. So just make sure you are, I'll save you a step if you're listening. Just go and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
You'll be a step ahead.
You'll be a step ahead for when this giveaway drops. Stay tuned for the giveaway. Episode 79.
Hit him with the outro song.